Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
All right, now I'm less mad at the pre-show because I'm fired up and ready to go, and this is segment one. Dom, happy Thanksgiving, sir. How was, I'm sure you still have finals and all that stuff, but what is this, penultimate semester? You've got May and you're done, right?
Yeah, one more after this. School was going great, took a bunch of football trips in the fall. Nice. Classes are easy. Great to be back. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You know what I didn't even think of, and this is my bad, the radio crew and my pap always, I feel like, have trouble getting spotters for road games.
Right.
Should have hooked you up to get into the pit booth.
Oh, my God. I would have done that in a heartbeat.
I know. And that's happened before. Like, my cousin went to Syracuse, and she shadowed my pap for, went to school for broadcasting, shadowed my pap for a football game and a basketball game in two separate years. So it's been done before. You'd think with our guy PJ Kamanchik over there, he would have hit you up, but I guess that didn't happen either.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
But before I ask, you have to promise me you're going to give an honest answer.
Okay.
You promise?
Yeah.
All right. Don't lie to me. What does your pap, because I'm sure he's told you, what are his honest to goodness thoughts about Syracuse, New York?
I think the opinion changes depending on the season.
Fair answer.
I've been there three times. They've all been during football season. I've been in the Dome three times for football. I've never been in there for basketball. I'm not a fan of the Dome for football. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine a lot of people are.
No.
I'm sure for basketball, it's a much different atmosphere, viewing experience, whatever. But all three times I'd been in Syracuse was during football season. The weather was fine enough. Now you go in February and there's like a foot and a half of snow on the ground. Your opinion might change. But I loved it. My cousin went there. So the one time that we went there for Pitt Syracuse after the game Saturday, I stayed in her dorm with her and my other cousins that night and had a pre-college type experience. Fun as hell. Enjoyed it. There was some there was some diner that we went to the next day. I forget the name of it. I feel like it's pretty well known. They've got like a bunch of crazy pancakes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name of it, but yes. We've been there before.
Yeah. Great town. I like it, and I'm sure he would tell you the same thing.
All right, good. Campus is beautiful.
Yeah, now during basketball season, if they've had some rough trips getting up and back, which I'm sure they had, the narrative on it might change. But you can ask him later. He's joining the show at 7:50. I'm obviously neither Adam Crowley or Doran Dickerson. I'm Jack Hillgrove this morning. Those guys work very hard to get the holiday off. The potential up-and-comers like myself and Dom, that's why we grind on the holidays. Happy to be with you. Really happy to be with you on this show, on this station, and every opportunity that I get. And especially today, in case you're unaware, we at 93.7 The Fan just received a massive honor, the 2025 Marconi Award for Large Market Station of the Year. The Marconi Award is the highest honor that a radio station can receive. It's like winning an Oscar. It's like winning an Emmy. It's like winning a Golden Globe. It's like winning a country music award if you're a country music artist. And it wouldn't be possible, it quite literally wouldn't be possible without you guys that listen to this station and these shows day in and day out. And on a day where we give thanks, I am thankful not only for my family, my girlfriend, my very dear friends, and so on and so forth. I'm thankful for my coworkers here. Yes, I'm thankful for intern Dom. I'm sure some of you can't believe that when I say that. And I'm thankful for the listeners. I've had a chance to meet a ton of you out at various events, whether that be Christmas karaoke or the pony nipple piercing extravaganza, or most recently at Rivers Casino for the, you know, celebration that we had with the Marconi Award with the fans. You guys are the nicest people in the world, and have been very complimentary towards me, very complimentary towards, you know, the everyday hosts on this station. We're thankful for you. And I want this show to involve you guys as much as possible. So the phone lines, no matter what kind of rant I'm in, what kind of segment we're doing, you guys are number one priority today because we're thankful for you at 412-928-9370. Any and all topics are on the table. If you want to complain about the Steelers, you can complain about the Steelers. If you're weary and worried the Pirates won't spend $80 million like the team president said yesterday, 412-928-9370. If you're just trying to get away from the craziness, the in-laws, the turkey, the prep, all that, 412-928-9370. But we're going to start this morning with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in case you're unaware, they've never had a losing season under head coach Mike Tomlin. I don't know if that's breaking news or not. Probably isn't, because everybody talks about it every day of the week as far as the national media is concerned. But we hear it all the time. It's been, what, 18 years? Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season. Actually, if I had a dollar for every time I have heard that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, I would probably be able to reimburse my parents for all the money they spent on the food for tonight's dinner. Is there anybody out there, and we can throw this question out at 412-928-9370, is there anybody out there that actually thinks that it'll never happen? I truly am curious. And I joke all the time on this station. I've said it, you know, the quote is, you know, by hook or by crook, Mike Tomlin will get to 9 wins. Somehow, some way, it always happens. But that was before a couple of key things happened this season. Number one, the quarterback that you sunk everything into in 2025, the former four-time MVP, he broke his wrist. You know, and I know the Steelers have tried to downplay that, but it is what it is. And I know it's not his throwing hand, but Aaron Rodgers broke a bone last week. So, and we're going to get into his situation and why I'm not confident that he's going to play Sunday. We'll get into all that later. But the starting quarterback has a broken bone right now. That's a problem. Number two, the other like 30-plus-year-old players that you acquired to be key members on both sides of the ball, not living up to their end of the bargain. And 30-plus players might be a little bit of an exaggeration because DK Metcalf's not quite there yet, but he gets lumped into this category. His production hasn't been great. Jalen Ramsey, at times, hasn't been great. Now, granted, since he's made the move to safety, it's worked out better, but I'm not sure that he's lived up to his end of the bargain as on a consistent enough basis. Jonnu Smith, definitely not. Number three here, the scheme stinks. The scheme sucks. You know, when you have former players and guys that won Super Bowls, like James Harrison and Trey Essex on the station bashing the way the Steelers operate from a schematic standpoint, and then the podcast clip that I heard a bunch on this station leading up to the week with James Harrison and Joe Hayden yelling in a way that only James Harrison can. And then, like, even Ben Roethlisberger, on his own podcast, he does it and goes about it in a more professional way, beating around the bush and being Ben about it. But when your Hall of Fame franchise quarterback, and for my money, the best quarterback in your franchise's history, when a guy like that is wondering what the hell is wrong from a schematic standpoint, you have problems. Your assistants, your coordinators, the head coach, they all need to look at themselves in the mirror and ask the question, what are we doing? And the guy that needs to look in the mirror the most is the last person I mentioned there, and that's the head coach. The head coach that's never had a losing season. But I think it's time to ask the question, is this the year that we see it? Is this finally the year that the Steelers fill in it. Energy drink break for that one. Good Lord. Is this finally the year the Steelers finish below 500? I'm not going to go to the length of predicting it to happen right this minute. And some of you might say, well, you're a sports talk host. Do it. That's what you get paid to do. I don't know that I can. Because I quite literally don't know what losing football looks like in this town. The first season that I remember from a pro standpoint, this is from a pro standpoint, as a diehard Pitt fan, I know what 5-7 and even a couple of years ago 3-9 looked like. That's neither here nor there. But the first Steelers season that I remember following vividly was Ben's rookie year in 2004. And that might open some eyes because of how young I am compared to a lot of you. I was 6 years old in 2004. I don't remember 03 or anything prior. Dom's is several years younger than me, so he's in the same boat. We don't know what losing records look like next to the Steelers name or next to that Steelers logo, you know, when you go to a sports website and look up NFL standings. So I'm not going to go to the extent right this very minute of predicting them to finish 8-9 or worse. I can't do it. But I'm certainly going to raise the question for a couple of reasons. And before we go to break here, let's dive into why this is a fair question. Steelers are 6-5 as we sit here this morning at 6:15 a.m. on Thanksgiving. And by the way, at 6:15, it's time to check out the Christmas gift store at Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. 6-5 as we sit here today. One of the worst defenses statistically in the National Football League. Their 41-year-old quarterback is hurt. And none of their receivers can get open on a consistent basis. Those are issues. Those are giant problems. Who will we see those problems against for the rest of the season? I.e. who the Steelers are going to play? Let's take a glimpse at the final five games. We're going to temporarily look past the Bills matchup for right now. Not saying that the Steelers need to, but the final five games of the season, for my money, is where you make or break playoff teams from those that are going to be watching the postseason in November. This stat is telling. And Dom, you're, for all intents and purposes, a Mike Tomlin guy. This is, for all you Mike Tomlin believers and defenders, here you go. If the Steelers lose Sunday, they've got to go 3-2 in their final five to get to 9-8, right? 6-6 would be the record if the Steelers fall to the Bills on Sunday. 3-2 in their final five adds up to 9-8. 4-1 to go 10-7. I can almost certainly guarantee you they're not going to finish 4-1 in their final five games. Since 2020, in the final five games of the season, so that's the last, from 2020 to 2024, that's five seasons, last five games of each season, so 25 games here, when football matters most. From 2020 to 2024, in the final five games of the season, the Steelers are 12-13. 12-13, and I think you can make the argument that number's inflated. In 2022, this is why, they were 4-1 in their final five. The only the record 4-1 in the 2022 season, the only 4-1 record in that five-season stretch in the final five games, but three of those wins were against the 5-8 Panthers, led by Sam Darnold back when Sam Darnold stunk. 6-8 Vegas at home, they only won that game by three. And then the 7-9 Browns at the end of the year. So three of those final five games were against teams that were below 500. In 2025, I promise you the Steelers don't have that easy of a stretch. And if you follow this team, they know that. You know that. Last season, they were 1-4 in the final five, losing the last four games. 3-2 in 2023, but that's coming off an atrocious three-game losing streak that year to the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Patriots. 4-1, again, we talked about that in 2022, but that was against a bunch of atrocious teams. Ben's last year, They were 3-2 in the final five games, but it took overtime in the Ravens to get there. And then 2020, 1-4, should have been 0-5. That was the fraudulent 11-0 season. The Colts were up 24-7 halfway through the third quarter, and the Steelers came back to win in one of those final five to get to 1-4 in the last five games. What does it all add up to? Mike Tomlin, at the very least, since the turn of the decade, has been a below average or bad football coach down the stretch. Mr. We're going to unleash hell in December because we have to, has not. Not even close. Now, granted, the fortune of the latter half of the regular season can change drastically on Sunday if the Steelers win. And while I highly doubt a Steelers victory on Sunday, I can't be surprised if I say that, I can't be surprised if they do end up pulling it out, if Coach T pulls one out of his hat and wins a giant game at home over an AFC contender with a franchise quarterback. It would actually be on par with the rest of the 2025 season, wouldn't it? To quote Michael Corleone in Godfather 3, or Dom, you'll like this, to quote Steven Van Zandt in Sopranos, quoting Michael Corleone in Godfather Part 3, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. A hilariously pathetic defensive effort against the Packers to fall to just one game above 500 to 4-3. And then the next week, the defense shows up against an AFC contender just to keep you wondering. They sacked Daniel Jones six times, turned him over, they win. Guess what just happened? A hilariously bad defensive effort against another NFC North team to fall again to just one game above 500. And here comes another contender in the AFC. I understand the Bills have been slipping. I understand that they've lost, three of their last four, whatever it is. But I don't count out Josh Allen. Not in a million years. They still are very much a player in the AFC. It's a movie we've seen many times before my Mike Tomlin-led teams, and we most recently saw it a month ago. And because of that, if you think the Steelers will win on Sunday, that's an argument that I've got to accept and understand, and I'll call it valid. But here's where I counter. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play Sunday. Even if he did, Bills' pass defense is best in the league. 168 yards allowed per game. Steelers quarterbacks are only averaging 195 passing yards per game. That's 22nd in the league. Fun fact for you here, Dom, you'll like this. 22nd in the lead, but only second in the division. The Bengals, led by the old gunslinger Joe Flacco, they threw it 45 times a game when he was at the helm. They are the best pass offense in the AFC North. But the Ravens and the Browns, both bottom five in pass offense this season. And I thought that was a fun fact. Anywho, I don't have faith in the Steelers being able to throw the ball on Sunday. And I don't have faith in the Steelers' eligibles, as Mike Tomlin calls them, to get open against one of the league's elite pass defense. I'm also scared of James Cook. Thought of him facing the Steelers' run defense with Derek Harmon on the shelf. I understand that the Steelers' run defense has been fine for the most part of this season, but nobody runs the football like the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles those run wagons like the Buffalo Bills do, except the Chicago Bears, who they held in check last week and still lost. Something very possible to happen again. The only team as close to being an elite rush offense in the NFL to the tops, Buffalo Bills, is the second leading rush offense in football, and that's the Chicago Bears. Steelers held them in check. But ask yourself this question. With how inconsistent the Steelers have been this season, do you have the confidence that they can do it again against actually a better rush offense? I don't, with how inconsistent this team has been. And even if they do, there's still a formula out there that where the Steelers can hold an elite rushing attack at bay and still lose, because it happened last week. Third, and why I'm probably the most valid reason in my mind why I'm not confident in the Steelers on Sunday is that even with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, which I don't think is going to happen, a drastic quarterback disadvantage. Josh Allen has picked the Steelers apart before. He can do it again. In four career games against Pittsburgh, he's 3-1, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. And furthermore, in four career games against the Steelers, they've only sacked Josh Allen 5 times. Does this spoil my prediction for the game on Sunday that we're going to make later on in the show? Yeah, probably. My final word here will avoid saying a prediction, so I'll word it like this. I believe the Steelers will need to go 3-2 in their final 5 games to get to 9-8 and get to Mike Tomlin's, 19th straight winning season. It's definitely doable. Something I cannot officially predict right this minute will happen because, I've never seen a losing season, or I don't remember a losing season in black and gold before. But with a pair of games against the Ravens, another road divisional tilt, don't roll your eyes at me pointing out the Browns game because they might have a spark now with Shedeur Sanders and you lost in Cleveland last year. And a road matchup in Detroit against an NFC contender against an elite offense in Detroit, it is fair to raise the question whether or not you think the Steelers can go 3-2 in their final 5 games. And very fair to wonder if this is finally the year where Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers go below 500. 412-928-9370. It's the number of the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's go to that Fan Hotline. A couple of calls this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Mike in Butler. What's going on, brother? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You as well.
Thanks for coming into work today.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I would like to point out a correction. Mike Tomlin does have a losing season. It's called the postseason. He has an 8-11 record, and in the last 12 games is 3-9. He is basically the Marvin Lewis of our time. If that's what the Rooneys feel is acceptable, that's certainly their right. But as a Steeler fan, I gave up my season tickets a couple years ago because it is just insanity. We're stuck in purgatory drafting between 18 and 22 every year and continuing to have a mediocre team, as distasteful as it would be. I would love for them to go 1 or 2 years of 3-14 or 4-13 and get a franchise quarterback to try to get back to where they need to be, where they are a serious playoff contender.
Yeah.
So, thanks. Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, man. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the family. The point that I most sympathize there with is the fact that the Steelers, like Mike said, they're drafting between 18 and 22 every year in the first round. You look at the top 5 passers in football. Actually, give me a moment to glance at it here. The top 10 passers in football this season. One of them was drafted outside the top 10. Drake May and Patrick Mahomes. I believe Mahomes was the 10th overall pick. Daniel Jones. Granted, he's had a resurgence this year in Indy, but is considered a bust in New York. Nonetheless, top 10 pick. Stafford, Darnold, Goff. 2 of those guys went number 1 overall. Darnold was 3 or 4. Josh Allen. Josh Allen might have been 11th overall. Nonetheless, my point stands. I mean, are we really going to... No, he went 7th overall. I lied. I knew he was a top 10 pick. I should have trusted my gut. And then Justin Herbert and Caleb Williams. 3 of those guys went number 1 overall. Long story short, if you want the Steelers to have a franchise quarterback, law averages says they've got to be picking in the top 10 to do it. And you look at all the teams that have had a losing season or two in the 18 years the Steelers have not. Eagles, Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, Bengals. Those are a couple of teams that have either won or made Super Bowls since the turn of the decade. Lucas in Bentleyville, happy Thanksgiving, brother. What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Fired up to be here. How about yourself?
Yeah.
I don't have to slave away and cook a turkey. I just have to eat later on. So that might be a little bit why I'm a little bit more chipper this morning.
Yeah, just another day in Steeler paradise, man. I went to the Seahawks game earlier this year, and immediately then I knew that this team wasn't going anywhere. I mean, granted, the Seahawks are good now, but it's supposed to be the best defense in the NFL against Sam friggin' Darnold, who lit them up all game. Rodgers looked like crap. And even when the game was on the line and he had a chance to throw it deep, he just took a little dunk, and they just looked awful that game. And I knew right then and there, this team is not going to do anything this year.
Yeah, I mean, and they the most frustrating part after that, Lucas, is that they have done things following that week two matchup against the Seahawks that you talk about. And thanks for the call, man. Enjoy the day. They put up like 30-plus points against the Bengals, and Aaron Rodgers looked great. They lost that game in large part because of the defense, but the offense looked fantastic. The defense says, oh, here comes one of the most elite offenses in football coming into town with the Colts. Don't care. Sacked Daniel Jones like six times, made him look like Giants Daniel Jones, and the Steelers defense that makes $170 million played up to the part. The problem is the consistency. They cannot do it consistently enough. The scheme is not good consistently enough, and that's why every week it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And that's how you get 6-5. One more call before the break. Let's go to PJ in Aetna. Happy Thanksgiving to you, good sir.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving. Best of everything to you.
You too.
Hey, that was a really good wrap-up on in 69 when they were 1-13. They came back and had great 70s. Mid-80s, they went down. They had great 90s. Although they didn't win a Super Bowl, they went to one. They went down in the early 2000s, came back. They've never gone into that valley again, and they've always been mediocre. Who am I speaking with, anyhow?
This is Jack.
No, Hillgrove.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad used to, or my grand, no, I guess my dad worked with your granddad at WTA. Anyhow, that was cool. A good wrap-up on the Steelers in December. Go back to about 2010 or, I don't know, 9 or 11, when Tomlin goes, well, in December, we unleash hell.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Yeah, 12-13 in the final five games in the last five seasons. And a caller earlier, PJ, cited Mike Tomlin's playoff record, too. It's not great. It's not great. The Steelers obviously haven't won a playoff game since 2017 either.
Right. And his playoff wins all came in those, like, one or two years when he was still getting Cowher's team. So, all right. I just wanted to say thank you for that. And I wanted to, you know, let you know about those earlier trends. Same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got to go down to come back up.
Absolutely, PJ. Thanks for the call, man. Enjoy the day. That seems to be the formula in the National Football League. You look at teams that have been in Super Bowls, teams that have won Super Bowls in the 2020s. Why does this list start at the top with Super Bowl one? It should go, whatever. Chiefs and Eagles have both had losing seasons since the Steelers hired Mike Tomlin. The Niners were atrocious for a while there with Chip Kelly at the helm. The Rams struggled. The Bengals struggled. The Bucks struggled before Brady. The Patriots are the most recent example. They were bad for, like, what, 3 years? Hired and ended up being a bad hire and head coach. But you develop a franchise quarterback and you hire another head coach post-Bill Belichick, and boom, all of a sudden it looks like the Patriots are going to be contenders in the AFC for the next decade. Because Drake May is awesome. Fantastic. But for whatever reason, the Steelers cannot handle this ownership, this head coach, this GM. The front office doesn't seem to be okay with, and it could be maybe even done in a year. You go 5-12 once and your fortune can change. They don't seem okay with it. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown, a home and business security company. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your phone calls and more in the next segment. Is this finally the year the Steelers finish below 500? Do they go 9-8? 412-928-9370. And let us know what's on your plate later on this afternoon or evening. I'm always curious to see what's in the various Pittsburgh households on this holiday. I've found over the last several years that it seems like mac and cheese is commonplace on Thanksgiving. We have never been a mac and cheese on Thanksgiving family. That is something that has never been available. That's why, and I'm like, oh, wow, really? Mac and cheese? And then I get looked at funny. I don't know. That's just, we mac and cheese omitted in the Hillgrove household. So what's on the plate later? 412-928-9370. Dom DiTomaso is here. He'll take your calls. We're with you until 10 o'clock this morning. It's the Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.